Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. We are very, very pleased to be part of the Variety Sports Network. And of course, the show originates from the Bradshaw Bourbon Studio. We are 1 week out from the 2024 NFL Annual Selection Show, otherwise known as the draft. And we're getting there. Patriots are apparently open for business at number three. Certainly somebody will want to move up there. How does that shake things down for us all the way down at 20? You know, there's rumors, you know, the smoke is everywhere now. So this is a fun time of year. If you're an NFL person, this is an absolutely fun time of year. Welcome in to everybody, whether you are live with us tonight or you catch us at your own leisure, as they say, on the audio or the video recordings. Gentlemen, hope everybody's well tonight.
Yeah, we're good.
Everything's good. Yeah, okay. All right. No, not too bad. Before we get into the draft stuff, I want to address Brandon Ayuk.
Why?
Because it's a topic. It's a topic, and I think
it's a topic with a less than 10% chance of actually coming to fruition.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I am saying there's a chance. I'm saying there's a better chance than one in a million, but it's more like one in 12.
Okay, so to the fan that doesn't understand and all they see is, oh, we might trade for Brandon Ayuk. Explain, Brent, why it's a 10% or less chance.
Well, here's the thing. The people that are saying that the Steelers have inquired and are the big player in this right now are not credible. Okay? It's Joe Blow on Twitter. And what I've heard and what has been repeated by the beats in Pittsburgh is, yes, Pittsburgh made a call at the very beginning, at the very outset of the free agency period to see if the trade was in the works and what it would cost. And that's it. Okay. Also figuring into this is T. Higgins demanded a trade. And so the Bengals gave him permission and nobody called. Nobody called.
Nope.
Okay. Because people don't want to give up high-end draft currency. I know people hate that term,
right?
But high-end draft compensation plus $25 million a year for another wide receiver. Teams just don't want to do that right now. That just isn't in the cards right now.
You don't think anybody called? Like, I get what you're saying, but like, I guarantee you, like, some team called. Like, it just wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, these. I don't think like nobody called. There's no chance. Like, what team? Right, you know what I mean?
I agree with what you're saying, but basically what I was told is nobody called. Okay.
Well,
cool.
Phone calls are always made, and I think people make a bigger deal about phone calls than needs to be. I think phone calls happen all the time. Hey, you know, what do you think about this guy? Point. You know, hey, by the way, how are the wife and kids? You know, phone calls are all the time, but you know, so when somebody gets a wind of, ooh, the Steelers made a phone call to the 49ers, for all we know, it was to see if they still had a golf date on for later in May. Now that doesn't mean there wasn't a discussion about a guy.
I think there was a discussion, like what would it cost, but that was the end of it. And you know, there hasn't been anything since, and we're 5 weeks later and there hasn't been any conversation since.
So, right.
Pickett D's nuts is actually very credible. You are correct, Ian. I have to give you that one.
Nuts.
You're right.
Ian, you mentioned in our conversations during the week that the Eagles obviously just did a deal with Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. And what were the particulars of that, if you have that in front of
they
you?
They slapped on a bunch of void years at the end. It was a really weird-looking contract. Like, on the surface, 3-year, $75 million extension on top of, you know, what he had looked fairly normal. But then when you actually broke it down, it was all these, there's like 34 million in dead money at the end of that contract because of the void years. And
they're following the same model, and Ian will understand this, and I'm sorry if you guys don't, but they're following the same model the Browns are, which is basically make the cap hits as low as possible every single year. And then at the end, we're just planning on eating all this dead money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. And it's like, well, I realize the cap is going to keep going up. And yes, this is an interest-free loan, but eventually that's going to hit your cap. Yep. For example, Deshaun Watson, the way they've got this thing scheduled out, when he's done, it's almost $90 million that it's going to hit their cap. 90. Even if the cap is $60 million by then, right? It's $25 million to a dead player who's not playing for you anymore. What's your plan then? You're just going to draft one?
Oh, sure. They grow on trees.
There's certainly not a happy ending to that Browns contract.
I beg to differ. I think there would be many, many happy endings during the course of that contract.
Yeah.
One other thing I'll mention, then I'll let Ryan talk. We talk about this on the show all the time, that good GM worth his salt is going to keep tabs on any players that might be available. Any good GM is going to make phone calls to other teams the week before the draft to say, are you interested in moving up? Are you interested in moving down? Everybody does it. And it's not just for the first round. It's for every round. You toss everybody. So I guarantee there will be reports this week of, the Steelers have had conversations with teams about trading up or trading down. Every GM does it. Every draft, it's nothing new or newsworthy, because you have to know who's potentially interested in doing what before that 10 minutes when you're on the clock hits.
And to that point, Ian, you know, I mentioned at the opening of the show, you know, there's the speculation that the Patriots are open for business. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the Patriots or let's say the Vikings or Broncos, somebody that wants to go up for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now you've got other teams, Steelers included, who are looking at that and saying, oh, boy, you know, if so-and-so moves up, then this could eventually happen. You're constantly watching this. It's a cycle. You know, you're constantly paying attention to it. So I totally agree that,
sorry, I said I was going to shut up, but the interesting dynamic with New England is if Minnesota trades up with their two first round picks, one of those is at 23 right behind us. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden, where you thought you might not be dealing a deal with New England this year with them at 3 and us at 20, if Minnesota is the one that moves up with them, and New England suddenly has the 23rd pick, now you're starting. Maybe you're making that phone call and saying, hey, if there's a guy you like that's dropping and you want to move up 3 spots, you did us a solid last year. Maybe we'll return the favor this year. You know, we'll just seeing how the board falls. But hey, great. You know,
I love that aspect.
I'm going to miss Belichick.
I know. He will be doing
whatever he could to fuck over the Jets.
By the way, he will be doing the draft show with Pat McAfee, I understand.
Might be a hell of a show.
I hope people tune into
our draft show, but that could be very interesting.
Yeah, obviously everybody will be tuning into this. There's no reason for any Steelers fan to tune into that nonsense because there'll be plenty of nonsense right here. And we'll get out when we're going to be on and all that stuff here before we get off the air. We'll let you know what's happening and all that stuff. I don't think the Aiyuk thing gets done either. I think he wants too much money. You're going to have to look at the Pickens thing down the road. Who knows the way they feel about that? It's too much money for a wide receiver.
I agree. The Steelers have done things differently.
Yep.
Under Omar Khan, but they still don't give a lot of guaranteed money. And I don't see them paying $25 million a season for a receiver. No. Now, when you think about, and I've said this on the show, I don't think George Pickens is going to get a second contract here. I really don't.
Really?
I don't.
Right. I think it's soon to make that prediction, but I understand how you feel. I do.
I you're probably right. It is a little early, but I just don't think he is. Very rarely do Steelers wide receivers get second contracts. You know, Antonio Brown comes to mind, Deontay Johnson.
There's always one guy, right? And they pay one guy, and if that guy's already been paid, then the other guys are They're leaving.
And both of those guys ended up getting traded before their second contract was fulfilled. So, you know, is Ayuk a great football player? Yes. Is it my money? No. But this is more about principle over player, and this is just something that the Steelers don't do. You know, and I know trading for Minka is, you know, trading a first round pick for Minka is something that they didn't do, and signing Patrick Queen isn't something that they do. But I don't know. This guy wants guaranteed money and 25 million per.
This one feels way out of there.
That is just not
Patrick Queen didn't get that much money. It wasn't that far. You know, it wasn't like he got top tier linebacker money. People are making a bigger deal out of this than it really is.
I think that,
in my opinion,
And I wasn't even speaking from, I wasn't speaking from a monetary point of view. I was just speaking of, there was a high quality player available,
right?
And they got him. So
at a huge position of need.
And we'll talk about this probably the next thing, but you know, this wide receiver class is very, very deep, and I firmly believe you could get starter capable players in those third and fourth rounds.
I would, and
I will say this: with Arthur Smith and the way he's operated the last 3 years, where, you know, everybody touches the ball, and you know, I'm looking at this board, and I have done zero prep, just for the record. But I'm looking at this board and saying, like, here's a guy that could, like, you know, even, you know, there, we'll talk about it. But I don't think names are as important right now as how Arthur Smith is going to incorporate players into whatever he's trying to do.
I think that's a valid point.
Yes. I'd also like to note that your dog is just having the time of its life back there, Scarps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Ned.
He looks comfy.
Love dogs. Okay. So here's the scenario I'm going to throw out to you. At 20, and I think I know the way Ian would go here, just based on a little bit of visual information here.
Ian's going to say Brian Thomas.
No. The best wide receiver, the best center, and the best offensive tackle are all available at 20. What do you do, Ian?
Wait, the best offensive tackle? Like Joe Alt is still
available? Yes, Joe Alt falls to 20.
Okay, then you take the Wait. The best wide receiver still available. So Marvin Harrison Jr. is still there? All right, I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. over any other player in this class.
Okay. And why is that, Ian?
Because he's the best player in the draft class.
Okay, that isn't the only reason.
But also
he's going to have the greatest impact. And it isn't just about the position of need. It's about the fact that he's going to have the greatest impact.
Yes.
That's me. And I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm just saying sometimes guys fall. J.J. Watt fell in the draft to 17.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
think 16 teams in front of him? No, not 17.
Was 11, it? Was it? I think.
11? 11. Okay, 11. Yeah. You think 10
David
teams DeCastro in front of
23.
You think, 24.
You think 10 teams in front of the Houston Texans didn't regret not taking J.J. Watt?
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, sometimes guys fall, and they're going to be impactful players, and you have to throw your cards away and just say, okay, I know we have a need over here, but this guy's a really good defensive tackle. Let's just take him.
So just for sake of carrying on any longer, Ian, you in that scenario – which obviously is a very far-fetched scenario, I realize, but you would take the wide receiver.
Yes, I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. over anyone else in this draft class. Heck,
Who's
I would take
child
Malik.
Is screaming, is that
that's
is
mine?
That yours?
Sorry, yes. No. Yeah, I had the baby monitor on.
Sorry. I was just making sure that it wasn't Ryan's.
Yeah, no. Right, right. I would take Marvin Harrison.
My wife is
shirking
here.
His duties.
I would take Harrison or Malik Nabers over any player in this draft class.
Okay, and then Ben, you sounded like you were leaning in that same direction as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, all right. Scarps, same question to you. If you got the best talented, highest rated guys at those three positions at 20, who would you take? Center, tackle,
ooh,
wide receiver?
I guess I can't go along with the group.
It's gonna be contrarian.
I do think this quarterback room has been upgraded, but I don't think it's elite. So I probably wouldn't take Marvin Harrison Jr. because.
But he didn't throw the best quarterback into that group. He said best wide receiver, offensive tackle, or center.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to take the best offensive tackle though, because I have to think about the quarterback. If like, are we talking logic here or no? Like, what
we are talking a far fetched situation where the
top isn't going to happen.
Offensive tackle, the top center, and the top wide receiver are all available at 20. And you'll see where I'm going with this.
I would still go offensive tackle.
Okay.
I would still go offensive tackle. I think that you know, Joe Alt is clearly that guy. It would get Dan Less Jr. out of here. Dan Less. Doesn't matter. No, but like I think you have your franchise. I think you have you would have two franchise tackles, right?
Yep.
Two franchise tackles. You could maybe get a center in the second round. That's no disrespect to Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm not taking Marvin Harrison Jr. there. Like, for what?
Well,
they're going to run the ball 800 times this year, probably.
So here's where I'm going with this. And this goes back to another comment that was kind of in our chat today. I got to make sure that I phrase this all correctly here, which likely I will not. There's no question that Harrison gives you the quickest return on the investment, right? I mean, you're going to, more than likely, he's going to be the biggest impact guy. However, is Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, are they looking at this scenario as a right now scenario, or are they building for the future scenario? Because to me, I would agree with Scarps. I would take Alt right now, and I know I've got a tackle for 10 years. Whereas Harrison,
let me ask you.
I don't know something. That I have Harrison for more than five years.
Let me ask you both something.
Yep. Okay.
Who do you think is more valuable, Jamar Chase or Trent Williams? The best offensive tackle in football, the best wide receiver in football. Who do you think is more valuable? Who's more impactful?
Trent Williams.
No, he's not.
No, I see where you're going with that, and I would say Jamar Chase is more impactful because
absolutely.
Because I can
order talking about.
I can find a Dan Moore.
Neither one of these guys. And Harrison is not Jamar Chase, and Joe Alt is not Trent Williams. Okay, the point I'm making is sometimes guys are so much better than the guy you have a need for that you need to veer off of your focus and go, wait a minute, that guy's available. We need to take him.
Okay,
you take the best player available. Yeah, if he's that much better, all things being equal, you lean back toward your need, all things being equal.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But
who's throwing
when
the ball?
When they're not, well, I mean, let's be frank, guys. This should be a long-term draft this year because the Steelers aren't winning the Super Bowl this year anyway. Okay, I know that the fans really, really want to believe that we are. Guess what? We're not. It ain't happening. We're two good drafts, at least good drafts, at least away from being a contender, in my opinion.
Okay. I partially disagree.
So let me
in. You think they can win the Super Bowl this year?
I think they have a window of opportunity here with Russell Wilson on a cheap deal that they need to.
How effective can he be?
They need to at least take a shot. And here's here's what I'll say. They have the potential to be a contender, maybe more so than any year since Ben's elbow injury. 2020, maybe aside, though, that team, you know.
Not really saying a lot, Ian.
Yeah. But okay. That being said, they have four major holes in this roster where they need starters: tackle, center, wide receiver, and cornerback.
Yeah.
So to me, regardless, you have to walk out of the first day of the draft having taken one of those four. And I know that we're not going to address all four on the first day, but to me, you have to walk out of that first day having addressed one of those four. Like, Byron Murphy is a great player. I would love Murphy as a Steeler, but if you walk out of the first day of the draft with a defensive tackle and you haven't addressed any of those four starting positions that you need, you're then either looking to trade for somebody or going back to free agency to sign somebody after the draft, which they may have to do anyways. But, like, I don't know. Like, do you really want to see Dan Moore and Mason Cole starting on this line again next year?
Like, well, Mason Cole's gone, so it doesn't matter.
He's still a free agent. So, like, if they don't get a center, they could bring him back, is what I'm saying.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
No, I don't see that either. I think it's an option if we can't find a center. That's all you say.
I always lean toward the best player available, always, 100% of the time. And the reason is you get the best impact out of that player. Now, usually when you're drafting in the 20s, there are so many guys that are virtually equal. You're splitting hairs trying to decide what you're going to do.
Yep.
A Byron Murphy, if he was available at 20, I'm weighing drafting him or finding somebody behind me who wants to trade up and get him and seeing.
I would agree with that 100%.
Seeing which is the better deal for me because,
yeah,
because if I get a good trade, I can get two guys, which that's more impactful than one Byron Murphy, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to weigh all that. I'm just saying you need to veer away from your focus on these are our needs. We need to get this done. This is not a Super Bowl team this year.
If Russell Wilson was on a much more quarterback type salary, would you feel differently?
I mean, if Russell Wilson was on a $35, $40 million a year salary, which is like cheap bottom of the line for quarterbacks now, you know, then you're looking at, hey, we need to get young, cheap starters at other positions like wide receiver around him because, you know, we're not going to be able to pay a bunch of other players. So, I mean, there's a give and take, but to me right now, you got to go out and find starters. Like, Murphy could come in, but you've got Cam Hayward, you've got Keanu Benton, and you've got Larry Ogunjobi are your three starters on the line. So, Murphy could be a rotational player this year and probably a very good starter into the future. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I don't see the immediate impact that he has versus like an Amarius Mims that you could plug in at tackle right away. There's going to be growing pains, but then your two tackle positions are set.
Mims is not going to start right out of the gate wherever he goes. He is technically unsound.
I've got the tackles queued up ready to go. So let's go there.
He's a freak athlete.
Can I say
a freak athlete, and I would take him in a flash, but he is not going to start out of the gate. Ryan, please.
Yeah, just one final thought, and I'm not disagreeing with anybody here. I just can't. You asked me the question, and I can't get who's throwing the ball out of my head. So that's why I went with Joe Alt. So just you know, for shits and giggles,
I totally respect that too. You have to consider who's throwing the ball.
The last six games of last season, when Joe Burrow was hurt in that Baltimore game. Jamar Chase averaged 4.5 catches and 62.7 yards per game. And in one of those games, he had like 11 for 140. So in those other games, he was terrible. The previous year, the final five games after he returned from injury, he averaged 8 for 88. So I can't whoever throws the ball matters. I'm not taking Marvin. If Marvin Harrison fell to 20, I think, okay, if Marvin Harrison Jr. fell to 20, I think you have to take him.
Of course.
But,
yes, absolutely.
But if
he's not going to, but yeah,
he's not going to. And Joe Alt's not going to, but like David DeCastro fell to 24 and the Steelers were like, thank you, God. I don't think it gets to that point, but I do agree. I think this team is still a year to a year and a half. So a two more drafts away.
Good drafts.
From truly like, contending.
Like last year's draft, that was a good draft class. We need another one of those.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Do you guys think that this is a team that, assuming they get, let's say, two or three of these pieces in the draft, is this a team that can win a playoff game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Yes.
I would say that with this schedule this year, I don't necessarily think they'll be as fortunate as they were last year where they got to play some less than stellar quarterbacks. Yep. If they make the playoffs this year with that schedule and it's a healthy group that they're facing, yes, I could think that. Yes, I think that. Think that.
And that's because I agree. That, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team right now either.
But hang on. I don't want to take everything away from them. I do not think they are at all. That right. December was encouraging.
Sure.
The last handful of games, regular season, were encouraging. Okay. The last three.
Especially, Ben, when you consider when we sat here a year ago at this time, looking, you know, when that schedule came out, thinking right. They're screwed. They're not winning those games. You know?
Basically, what we thought was they were going to start out hot and then die at the end.
Yeah.
And instead, they lost some games that we thought they were going to win and won some games that we thought they were going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But here's to Scarp's point about, you know, if they make the playoffs versus this schedule, we've seen it happen before. And Ian has pointed this out a number of times. We've seen it happen before where we thought it was a really hard schedule. Injuries hit to other teams' quarterbacks in particular, and we ended up playing a bunch of backup quarterbacks, and our schedule actually wasn't that tough.
Yeah, it's happened several times.
And, you know, so you don't know what's going to happen until you actually get to the game.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting on anything at this point. Yes, on paper right now, the Steelers have the toughest schedule in the league.
Yep.
Which is weird to me because the Bengals have the seventh easiest.
Well, they finished last in a division.
Yeah, but still, that only determines two games.
Well, let's dive into the draft here, the offensive side. I want to talk tackles. I'm not going to spend even a waking second on Joe Alt. I think every single one of us 100% believes he is the top tackle. He's probably going to be gone within the top 10. If he even gets outside of that, I'd be stunned. But be that as it may, the guys we're talking about, you know, in terms of the Steelers, you know, Mims was brought up. Obviously, you've got Fashanu at Penn State, Latham down at Alabama, Fuaga at Oregon State, Fotanu at Washington, and you know, so there's a number of guys here. And then, of course, there's the one guy who I keep seeing mocked to us more and more, which is Graham Barton out of Duke. And the question is. Right. He's got T-Rex arms, and I don't want that, especially for my tackle.
Well, I don't think he's gonna play tackle if they draft him. He'll either be a center or a guard. But we don't need a guard, so he's a center.
No. Right. And that gives me the Kendrick Green willies, quite frankly. Because
he's not that bad. Okay. I don't know why.
Same amount of experience at center, right?
I understand your point. Yeah. Five games when he was a freshman. He's better. He's got a better anchor than.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Green had, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know why Green had such a poor anchor. I don't know why his reflexes were so poor. I don't get it. He would whiff at guys, and they would get around him. He would get into guys, and they would drive him into the backfield. This is a kid who squatted 700 pounds when he was at Illinois.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you have such a poor anchor? I don't understand it. And he just isn't a very good athlete. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Barton's a far superior athlete to Green. But I agree with you from the standpoint that the experience level at center concerns me. I would not want to draft him because I don't think he's a guy you can plug and play at center year one. Which is the way draft Twitter is projecting him.
Right.
There's no way. The guy played most of his career at left tackle. He's smart. He's athletic. He has short arms. He's not an NFL tackle. So they're moving into the center. Then I'm like, yeah, okay. I get the logic, but that doesn't mean he's a day one center. That means he's a project. He's a guy you can turn into a center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Nate Herbig's a guy that I want being my short term.
I don't think the Steelers think that either.
I don't either.
I think they're saying it. They're like, we have Nate Herbig, so you know they're trying to project this confidence about their position so that nobody will be able to guess their needs.
People see that a guy has played center, so therefore they think he is a center. Those are two different things. You know,
Nate Herbig in a pinch can play center.
Right. Right. So can James Daniels can play center, but that
which is what I would do. If you get to camp and you've got Nate Herbig and James Daniels, I flip flop those two guys. And I'm like, Daniels, you're playing center.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. Ian, who is a one of these tackles that you feel like, is there a plug and play tackle in this group?
I mean, Fashanu from Penn State's really good. He's going to be gone top 15, probably. I really like JC Latham from Alabama. Watching
is it
some
Latham
of his...
or Latham? How do you even say that?
Oh, good question.
You know what, Ben?
I would love to get that kid just because he's young. Usually when guys come out of Alabama, they're beaten to shit. He's a third year junior.
Yeah.
He's only 21.
Yeah.
We're not going to get him. He's
no. And you watch his tape, he just latches on to guys. Like when he gets guys into his chest, he does not let go. And when they try and bull rush him, he just stands them right up and they just go nowhere. They can't get out of it. And it's super, super fun to watch him.
He fits that checklist too. Yeah. That Steelers.
And the dude is almost 6'7", and he gets under guys and picks them up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa.
Okay. I agree with you.
He's going to be good.
Yeah. I really like Amarius Mims. I'm not real high on Fuaga from Oregon State.
I like him a lot at guard.
Yeah, I think
that's where he's going to get kicked too.
Fatano from Washington, I do like. I think he's got position versatility across the line. Okay. I don't know if his future is at tackle or if it's more on the inside, but I like a lot of what he brings to the table. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, another kid they brought in. He feels like a boom or bust, just like super raw kind of guy that I'd rather have Mims than Guyton. And then, you know, on the board, if we don't take a tackle in the first round, like Blake Fisher from Notre Dame on day two is another name to watch. And then
real quick, Ian, I was talking to a Notre Dame person today, and the very first comment they told me was Fisher, who likely is going to go in the third or fourth round. They said he should have stayed in school, probably would have earned himself, you know, gotten himself up to a second round had he stayed in school, but chose not to. And so therefore, basically what they were saying is there's potential there to be better, but probably could have really benefited from being in school.
And Fisher just turned 21. Like he's barely 21.
Yes.
Yeah. I like Fisher for that reason. As a day two tackle, I agree with Ian.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a guy who's going to start for you right away.
Right.
But he is going to come in and he's got all the building blocks. He's not as athletic. He's not the physical specimen that Mims is, for example, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is.
Yeah,
no,
but
that has an 86 and 3/4-inch wingspan, like almost 87 inches. Like that's just absurd.
Absolutely.
That's longer than Sterp sectional back there.
That is the right word. It is absolutely friggin' absurd. It's like almost a 90-inch wingspan. How? What planet are you from, dude?
Who was it that one of the Steelers guys? I thought maybe it might have been. Nick Faribault, I can't remember exactly, but they were standing behind him at the draft.
Yeah.
And took a picture, and it's almost
during a press conference.
Yeah, it was surreal.
A gigantic human
and
being.
There's not much fat on that kid.
No.
I mean, it's he's not like one of these big
He's even bigger than Broderick Jones, and Broderick Jones is gigantic.
That guy can hug you from the next block, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, all these kids out of Georgia.
I know it, right?
Jones, Darnell Washington, they're freaking huge.
He loves these just massive human beings.
So,
yeah.
I've said this on the show,
okay,
and I'm going to stick with it. I do not see Dan Moore Jr. going anywhere. So I do not think that they look at a tackle at 20 unless there would be a scenario where somebody they had didn't go.
I think they do look at tackle at 20, and okay, the reason is the same reason Ian's given a thousand times. Well, okay, a dozen times this year. It's about dearth of quality after the first round. And if Mims is there, it's going to be really hard to pass on him.
I get that. And, you know, the one that comes to mind is Marcus Gilbert. He was a second round pick in 2011.
Florida.
Yeah, I don't remember that many other second round picks for the tackles for the Steelers, because Dan Moore was a fourth rounder.
Was Max Starks a two or was he a three?
He was a three.
Max was that next
Marvell
round.
Smith might have been a two.
Marvell was a two.
Yeah. So what? Every 9 years. Well, all right, we're right on time.
So, Scarps, you've mentioned this a couple times about how you
Mike Adams was a second round pick over Lavonte David. What a horrible! Sorry, Scarps, I interrupted you.
Yeah. Well,
true. That's a really good point. Now I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, that was ugly. What I was going to say is that, you know, Scarps, you've mentioned that a couple times that you think maybe the Steelers are a lot higher on Dan Moore than many of us are. And that would therefore mean they're not even looking tackle first round. Maybe they are. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking center?
Real quickly, just so I can add a little, punctuate this point about Dan Moore. Let's add this to the conversation. Dan Moore is a left tackle only, which is a weird thing to be.
I was going
to
say, that's an odd thing in the NFL.
It's a weird thing. You have guys who can play both guard positions and right tackle. You have guys that can play center in both guard positions. You have guys that can play right tackle only, which is a really bad guy to be. Dan Moore is a left tackle only. He cannot play on the right side.
Yep.
So basically, if the Steelers keep him, he's got to be a left tackle.
Which means your number one draft pick from 2023, who's supposed to be your left tackle stays on the right.
Maybe. So, Ryan, take Steel Dad's question there.
Do you have a gut? I mean, you've been on that for a while, Scarpsy. You think they're sticking with Dan Moore at least one more year. So, I mean, are you thinking center? Are you thinking wide receiver? Are you thinking corner? Nate Wiggins, man, he's high on a lot of people.
I think a lot of
people think he's the guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that they need to figure out, are there guys that they think they can get in that second round, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Barton kid from Duke or Kyre Pyers Johnson slipped to the second round. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. So I don't know. We'll see. I would not be surprised if they went corner at 20.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they went offensive lineman at 20, or wide receiver. Anything other than that, I'd kind of be a little puzzled.
If they went wide receiver at 20, then I would almost bet my house that they would take another wide receiver later. They would double up.
Yeah, if they took like if they took Brian Thomas Jr. At 20, then second round, I think they would go O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Then probably corner, wide receiver, corner, or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know. Well,
let's shift over to the centers a little bit, because when I play around with mock draft simulators, whatever, and of course those are worth nothing. Okay. They're great. They're fun to play with, but they don't really mean anything at the end of the day. It's interesting to see where centers fall though. And a guy like Cedric Van Praan out of Georgia, I look at him as a third round guy all the time.
He is.
I really believe he's a third round guy, but there are plenty of people that think he is a second round guy. I just don't think that's the right spot for him, but that, I mean, if the Steelers end up grading him there, then they're going to take him. You know, I don't.
If the Steelers end up grading him there, or they think they can't get him in the third round, because
that's the issue. The third. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's
exactly it's one issue. Of those. It's, you know, we don't think we can get him in the third, so we'll take him here. Yeah. That happens all the time. Guys get taken a little bit early because teams really like the guy. They got a coach that really wants him, and they don't think they can get him in the next round.
Right.
But Van Praan Granger, whatever the fuck his name is.
I think he dropped that. I think he just goes Cedric Van Praan now.
Cool. All right. So he went from four names to three.
Cool.
I'm just going to one.
He's behind Frazier and JPJ and Graham Barton. He's not getting taken in the second round.
I don't believe he is either. I don't believe he is either.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Frazier became the Steelers. I mean, that'd be a popular pick in Pittsburgh if Zach Frazier was.
It would be hugely popular, but I'm going to tell you right now, watch his tape against Texas.
Was it bad?
Watch him against Murphy and Sweat.
I haven't watched it. Was it bad?
He got tossed around like a rag doll, man.
Oh.
And that worried me a little bit. I like the kid a ton. He's tough. He's, you know, I mean, the guy's a wrestling state champion. I mean, I love those kind of guys.
Yeah, but, right.
And when I saw that tape,
Carlton, I was like, Hasselrig.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, geez.
And how much football experience he had when the Steelers took him?
Right. Is there a center in this draft? This might be a really, really dumb question. Is there a center in this draft as good as Marquise Pouncey was coming out?
No.
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 Why not?
No.
Ian?
Pouncey had the fastest hands of anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And his ability to get from, like, crouched down to snapped up with his hands on a guy was, I mean, it was otherworldly. Like, for a guy that big, you shouldn't be able to move your hands that fast,
right?
Especially from the guard position, it's one thing where you can kind of set your hands before the snap. But for a center who's crouched down snapping the ball,
right,
to get up that quick was just insane athleticism. And the way he could move on his feet, you know, I mean, they essentially changed the offense from being, oh, the left guard pulls every time, to being, oh, now the center's going to pull every time. Not only was he fast enough to snap the ball, he could get out and be your lead blocker too. So, no one's that good. But I think, I mean, you could – I could see either JPJ or Zach Frazier going in the late first round of this draft, because both of those guys to me are like borderline first, second round picks. Okay. And, you know, in any given year, there's probably 20, 25 guys that have first round grades. So those last like 7 to 10 picks of the first round are all the like borderline first, second round guys. And, you know, sometimes teams reach, sometimes teams trade up, you never know. So like if the Steelers trade back to like 27 or 28, I would be perfectly fine with them taking either JPJ or Frazier with a first round pick if all the tackles are gone.
I get it. Yeah.
I don't think Frazier's worth the first round. That's just me.
No way. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, Ian, you know I love you. I'm just saying, like, I just don't see that. But
it's all good.
But I would say this. I will say this. I would rather them trade back to 27 or 28 with a plan than reach at 20 like they did 2 years ago with Kenny Pickett.
So what you're saying is you're a huge Kenny Pickett fan.
No, I just like
hater.
No, I mean like if they stay at 20, if they
I'm just trolling.
Know exactly what you mean, Scarps. Go.
I'm just trolling.
They stay at 20, and this is just me. If they stay at 20 and they take JPJ at 20, I bet you could have gotten him at 27. You know, like I'm looking at.
Yeah, you but, probably could, so, but you have to find a trade partner, Scarps.
Okay, so looking at some data here. That
bring out the data. Here's a guy with some data.
Over the past six drafts, what round has the highest average number of centers taken?
Probably third.
What round? I would guess third.
It's the second.
Ooh.
Only one center has been drafted. I'm sorry. Well, only two centers have been drafted in the first round. After in the past four drafts, and it's alternated, yes, no, yes, no. So that means there's a yes in there. So this would mean that a center gets drafted in the first round this year.
Okay.
I just really don't want them to reach.
No, I know exactly what you mean there. I don't either.
And I would also like to reiterate, I get it. Social media is at our fingertips, and there's just so much information available to us. But I want to repeat this. The Steelers, just like all the other teams in this league, all other 31 teams, have a player personnel department whose job it is throughout the year to scout these kids, to get to know them, to watch film, etc. And believe it or not, you can get quality starters in this league outside the first round. So
no doubt about it.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And
what, so my point being is that we fall in love, and I mean we as in any fan base sort of fall in love with a player because social media tells us to, right?
Of course.
That doesn't mean
that's the rule, man.
That doesn't mean that the Steelers are in love with that player as we are. So,
what you're saying is draft Twitter has its own philosophy and or, the NFL has a different one.
Yes. But also every mock draft, I mean, how many countless mock drafts you see online are like,
would mock drafts are stupid.
Would you be okay with this? Would you be okay with this? Would you be okay with this? And I think they do serve a purpose, but like,
what purpose? Entertainment?
There are so many. This is the other thing too. Is there are so many different variables that can happen.
Yes,
so exactly. Like,
you're That's banking on Cedric Van Pran being there in the third round because why? This is there's context and nuance. Like this isn't some fucking like
no, it's like
we only the Steelers are in charge of the draft. Like it, you know. So I just want to say like.
No, I think it's a good point. I get it. Yeah. Ben, did you have a comment there?
I did. Scarves was talking about his concern about the Steelers reaching. And this goes back to the point I've made on this show every year at draft time, every single fucking year at draft time about reaching because you have a need. At a certain point, it's like your gambling budget. You know, when you go to the casino and before you go, you're like, okay, if I win this much, I'm leaving. If I lose this much, I'm leaving. Right? You need to set those in advance. You need to go, okay, if this guy is gone, we're not taking this position in the first round. We're not taking the consolation prize in Artie fucking Burns. We're not doing that. We're not going to reach and take a Kenny fucking Pickett because we need a quarterback. Okay? We're not doing that. Scarps is a hater, by the way, for hating the Kenny Pickett. What I'm saying is, again, for the 147th time, take the best player available. Take the guy who's going to give you the greatest impact. Period. The end.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. Wide receivers. We know it's a need. We gotta get a starting level wide receiver out of here. I think we all agree. You've got Harrison Jr. You've got Neighbors. I mean, some people call them 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call it. They're both going to be long gone. But now you get into those questions about, you know, you get Odunze from Washington.
He's going to. He's going top 15.
I agree with you, Ian, 100%. But I would say this of any of the guys we've talked about tonight. What if that guy is still there and it's the 15th pick? I mean, do we see another scenario where the Steelers go up and grab a guy? You know, I don't know. But as far as the receivers, we do such a damn good job of finding guys in the second, third round. I have a hard time not seeing us do that again. You know,
how are we supposed to respect the mock draft opinions of a guy who hates fantasy football? Fantasy football is fucking stupid, too.
Man, Dan, without voices of reason like yours, we would be really screwed on this show. We need more voices.
Fantasy football is fucking stupid.
Where the hell's Johnny?
That's why it's called fantasy football. Fantasy. Fantasy. Mock drafts.
Anyway.
Why they're called mock drafts, because they have no basis in reality.
Anyway, Ian, make your point, please.
All right. I wouldn't take these guys at 20, but if we traded down in the first round to a 27, 28, like if Adonai Mitchell from Texas is there, like I'd consider that depending on who else is on the board.
Yes, you know, and that's a huge part of that. Who else is there?
Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. You know, there's a really solid group of like second, third round receivers though. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky, who's a yards after catch machine. Ricky Pearsall from Florida.
I like Pearsall a lot.
Yeah,
but Charlie made a really good good point earlier when he said, "Why burn a draft pick on a wide receiver early when in this offense they average 500 yards a season?"
Yeah, I mean, well, Arthur Smith drafted Kyle Pitts and Drake London, you know, top 10 picks. And, you know, I am going to speak from a fantasy football perspective. I've gotten hosed by Arthur Smith the past 2 years.
Right.
Now, do you want to say I'm a poor drafter? Maybe. But my point being is that they get targets. They get targets. But their effectiveness is just as bad as Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, and we know those guys were
draft an Arthur Smith wide receiver in fantasy.
Well, Pickens was better late in the year when they switched the quarterback away from your favorite player, Kenny Pickett, who I know you
I wonder who that quarterback was they switched
because
to.
You're an H2P guy.
Now, I will defend Arthur Smith a little bit here. I think he had a season in Tennessee, didn't he, where he had,
A.J. Brown was
Brown. Brown and Davis both were over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
But I that's as far as I can go to defend.
We
but
don't have
this dude,
either.
This dude runs the ball more than
Oh, yeah. And that's why Mike Tomlin wanted him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to smash it. And that's fine.
But here's one for you. Here's one for you.
Uh-oh.
Did Mike Tomlin really want him, or did they collectively say, hey, this is the best guy for Pickett right now? And then Kenny Pickett said, I don't want to try to beat a 36-year-old quarterback in competition.
That happened.
Oh, fuck. Because regardless of what everybody on Twitter tells me that, you know, I don't even know what an innovative offense looks like. And I only mentioned Clint Kubiak because he's like, you know, the flavor of the week. Well, Clint Kubiak went to the Saints and they seem to be very excited about him. He gets to work with Derek Carr, who we could have only prayed to God that Kenny Pickett could have been one day, but we'll never know that. But
what did we call him when he was coming out, Scarps? Derek Carr Light.
Derek Carr Light.
Derek Carr
Fucking
Light.
We did
Michelob Ultra, but you know, the I really do think about that. And I think that they made that Arthur Smith decision based on Kenny Pickett's limitations. And
yeah, no, I agree with you.
So I'm still indifferent about the Smith hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe they've upgraded the quarterback room, but
thank God.
I have to give Arthur Smith, as frustrating as hell as he's going to be, another year to see what happens, because I do not think that he was brought here for these reasons.
He only has a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
And we know that Art is perfectly willing to let offensive coordinators go. Oh, wait, he's not. Never mind.
No, sorry. No. Yeah. Slow down there. So the Steelers are pretty good at drafting wide receivers, yes, as we know, and we've already got George Pickens. We know what his skill set is. So therefore, what type of receiver do we think they are targeting early on here? Let's say in top 3 rounds here.
Possession, you know, receiver.
I would agree. So are we
perfect
talking
world, about a guy who plays like Hines Ward used to, but that's
blocker.
Those guys are few and far between.
Yeah.
So you want Xavier Leggett, basically.
That's what I want. I want Xavier Leggett, but we're probably not going to get him. But yeah, that's who I want.
I you know what? I wouldn't say that, Ben, because I mean, I think he could still be there at 51.
I think maybe. So I was reading today, Carolina has spent a ton of time on Leggett, and they have picks at 33 and 39. I would not be shocked if they took him.
No, I wouldn't either. And because they need weapons for Bryce Young. I mean, they gotta have. I mean, he just, granted, they need an offensive line too.
Yeah, all the shit I've read about their owner, that dude.
Oh, yeah, he's
God.
He's a little, he's different.
That is the worst team in the world to play for. I think the Steelers traded DJ there on purpose to punish him, basically as a message to everyone else.
It was definitely not anything they minded doing. I
get on board or we're gonna fuck you over.
Yeah,
because they had a better offer from the Chiefs, but they were like,
Oh, yeah, I'm not sending him there anyway.
We play in the same conference.
Yeah.
Nah, we're not doing that. And besides, you're a really good team, and we don't want to reward this bad behavior. So
besides, like a Leggett, I mean, what about, you know, like, Washington's got 2 other kids coming out behind Odunze, Roman Wilson at Michigan. You got a number of different guys that are going to be there.
I think those are valid day 2 guys. If they wait till day 3, Luke McCaffrey from Rice and Taj Washington from USC are 2 guys that I really like.
Yeah. McCaffrey's fascinating because he's a big time route runner, really good.
Yeah. But those are day 3 guys. And like we said, they could double dip at receiver too. So I think those guys are still on the board, in the 6th round, kind of regardless of what happens on day 1 and 2.
If they were to double dip, Scarps, do you think they double dip at wide receiver or cornerback? Which one do you think they're more likely to double dip on?
Both, corner. Please. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
Both, please. Yeah. All we need really in this draft is like 15 draft picks, and we're solid.
Yeah, I think that
we don't have those though.
No.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this right now, and I don't think Calvin Austin roster spot is secure.
I agree with you.
I know Cordarrelle Patterson is older, but like he has familiarity with Arthur Smith.
Yep.
Cordarrelle Patterson is still a better returner. I could see them double dipping on both. I could see them double dipping on both corner and wide receiver, but
so we get 7 draft picks and we think they're gonna double dip at 2 position. No,
I don't think they'll do both. I'm saying it'll be one or the other.
I don't know.
And I don't even know if that'll happen.
It won't shock me if they take a tight end, even with all the signings.
No. Jesus and Christ. There are some very nice middle to late round tight ends.
Yeah.
I think that all right, I think they double dip at wide receiver. I think they take a guy at 84 and 119, And that third round compensatory is a corner. But I do want to say this. At 195, I wouldn't be surprised if they took this guy at 195.
195.
Or he's a rookie free agent. Oh, but somebody's going to take – somebody's going to take
195 or a rookie free agent. Okay.
Who are we talking about here, Scarps?
He's a Pitt kid, Bub Means. And Bub Means is 6'2", 215.
Yep.
He dealt with horrible quarterback play. But I think that I was big on him last year, and I could see him casually taking a stroll to the other side of the building. But I think he's actually a pretty good player. That's like a really, really late guy.
I'm not going to criticize or praise because I don't. I haven't seen enough of him. To know one way or another. Scarps.
They gotta look at the. Oh man, I need this guy on my team just because of his name, Marcus.
Well, he does Marcus
Rosemy Jack Saint. From Georgia.
I need Kool-Aid McKinstry just for the t-shirts.
I was just going to say, Scarps, you haven't talked about Kool-Aid yet at all.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's the offensive show tonight, Ben.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Fine. Yeah. Whatever.
I think tight end is a very nice possibility in this draft. I really do. Riemann is coming up draft boards like freaking crazy. He was kind of a sixth, seventh round guy. Now people are talking about him in the fourth. Big time blocker, has some receiving ability, you know. And there's what was the thing today about Eric All, kid from Iowa who was at Michigan for a few years?
He's had a bunch of visits, but I mean, he's had some injuries, so I'm thinking a lot of people are doing injury checks with their own doctors.
It must be what's happening.
Yeah,
he and the kid from Minnesota, Span Ford. They both were college guys that I thought were supposed to be a lot better, but really just never clicked. And I'm not saying they can't be nice pros as second or third tight ends, but I don't ever see any of those guys as ones.
Yeah, I feel like this tight end class outside of Brock Bowers, like people are trying to talk themselves into some of these guys.
Yeah, like the kid from Texas, he's a nice player, but he's not.
There are a bunch of day two and three guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
A shit ton.
Yep. Yep.
It is technically a deep class, but it's top heavy from the standpoint that there's one guy.
Yeah. So let me throw another scenario at you guys on the offensive side here. I gave you the idea of, you know, best receiver, center, tackle being available. What if one of those top quarterbacks is sitting there?
Who is it?
Ah, that's a good
Depends
question.
On which one?
Okay. Yeah. So let's just go ahead and say that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels are both gone. They're gone. Let's start with this guy. What if Drake May's there at 20?
That's really hard.
I trade down. I see if someone wants to come.
Gotta have a partner. Gotta have a partner. Takes two to tango.
Drake May scares me.
He scares me too.
You look at Drake May's stats, he is wildly inaccurate. Yep. Drake May feels like a guy that's going to get a coach fired. Like whatever team takes Drake May.
A coach and a GM.
Yeah.
Fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree with Ian.
I don't know who Charlie is, but I think Charlie's been reading our Slack chats. This guy's been on point all night long.
I like Charlie.
All right, Charlie.
May and JJ McCarthy both scare the shit out of me, but I think they're both going to get drafted ahead of 20, which I'm all for. I think
absolutely.
22.
Yes. Take as many quarterbacks as you can.
There are going to be five quarterbacks taken in the top 15.
I tend to agree. Yeah. Scarps, if he's there, would you take Drake May? 20?
I don't know. Do we have the confidence in our coaching staff? Do we have the confidence in, I mean, Tom?
Hey.
No, I'm being serious. What's it? Tom
Murray, dude.
Tom Alt, that's the new guy, right?
Drake May, yeah. and looking at his
Thanks for letting me talk, Ben.
Sorry.
I'm being
good point, Scarps. No, you're right. You're right, though. You're right.
No. I'm not trying to be a hot take artist here, but
Dick,
not the only, but after Caleb Williams, I think Caleb Williams has a chance to be pretty good in this league.
Okay.
I think of most of the rest, nothing they do does anything for me. I'm not rooting against them, but Bo Nix is 1,000 years old. Michael Penix Jr. is old too, but
and banged up too.
Yeah. This quarterback class besides Caleb Williams to me is weak. But every year we know this, every year a team reaches, we've seen it countless times. A team thinks that, they're going to draft the next Montana or Mahomes or fuck even Roethlisberger. But I would not touch any of these guys, any of them at 20. If Caleb Williams was at 20, I'd take Caleb Williams, but nobody else.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Ian, did you get a word in on Drake May? You're not a fan, right?
Oh, I led with he's
yeah, not accurate. Fired. You don't like the accuracy.
I would take Jaden Daniels also I would take Williams, obviously, but Jaden Daniels too. McCarthy.
Okay, there's the next one. What if JJ McCarthy suddenly is not the flavor of the month and he falls to 19
all or 20. These quarterbacks?
I wouldn't take McCarthy, but I will say I would rather have McCarthy than Drake May. Because I feel like McCarthy is younger and has a bigger arm. And so there's some teachable stuff there with McCarthy. Whereas May is, I
that's fair.
Yeah. Actually, wait, no, they're both 21 years old. Sorry. May and McCarthy are both 21. I thought May was older for some reason, but no, May just scares me with everything. So I would take McCarthy over May, but I wouldn't take either of them at 20.
Okay. All right.
I would look for a trade back partner.
That's a foregone conclusion.
I would not take either of those quarterbacks. No. May Daniels, I might take. I'm not gonna lie. If Daniels was
if Daniels fell to 20, I'd be all over it.
Why?
I have to do this because you need a quarterback of the future and Russell Wilson is not that guy. He's 35. And Justin Fields has been terrible. And his problem is not physical talent. It's whatever's going on.
Well, and he also went to Ohio State, which is 80%
whatever of the problem. Setting aside the Ohio State thing, which actually is obviously an indictment, but setting aside that, what his problem is, if you could implant Josh Dobbs' brain in Justin Fields, he'd be a Hall of Famer. But you can't actually do that. Okay. So he has Justin Fields' brain in him and he makes really bad decisions.
He makes choices.
His physical ability is not in question. The dude is amazing. Amazing.
So I want to, guys, sorry, Ben.
Hang on real quickly.
That was my fault.
Okay. Real quickly. I would take Daniels at that position because of that. All of that said, if I were in that position and there were quarterbacks falling and I were at 20 and somebody thinking back, okay, the already Burns pick, never got confirmation about this, but the story was Dallas offered their first and their first next year and their second that year for our pick, so that they could take who the hell was the quarterback out of Cal? No, was it Cal? Oh shit,
Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch.
Memphis.
Yeah.
Dallas offered their first the following year and their second that year,
mm-hmm.
and we took Artie Burns and turned Dallas down.
Yeah, that's a fact. Okay.
No, it's not a fact. We have not been able to substantiate this.
Mm.
But, okay, haven't been able to substantiate it. But
I thought we had.
That being said, no, we haven't.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. Kevin's not going to tell people what the fucking what the details were. He's going to be like,
no, we have not.
You know, whatever.
Now here's a guy that knows.
In Dallas, that was the story at the time. Yeah, true. But who knows? It'd be an exaggeration, right? We turned it down, took Artie Burns. If you're in that position and they're offering that to take one of those quarterbacks, you fucking take it and run. Yeah. All right? Sorry.
Well,
you do.
You know,
even if it's Daniels, you probably take it. I don't know. Daniels, I'd be tempted. I'm not going to lie.
I would be too. I'll go that far.
McCarthy, and especially May, fucking if May fell to 20 and somebody wanted to trade up and they wanted to offer that, I'd be like, oh, okay.
I'd throw in a year's supply of Primantes too. No, I'm totally there. Any other positions offensively, guys, that we could be drafting? And
I have one final thought on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice how small this class is? Just like from a size standpoint, like there were years when, you know, 6'4", 6'5", was what you looked for in an NFL quarterback. Like Caleb Williams is barely over 6'1". I think there's only like two guys in this whole quarterback class that are taller than 6'4".
It's a great point.
It's a very short class.
Have you noticed how old this whole class is in general?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the oldest ever, and it's mostly due to the pandemic.
COVID. Yeah. COVID. But it's a ridiculously old class. Old. Yeah. And that's not a good sign.
Well, it just means you're going to have to change your strategy a little bit. Now, that said, some of the guys that the Steelers – you know, are looking at are still fairly young. You know, when you look at a guy Mims, pretty young, and a couple of these other guys. So, you know, we'll see, but it is an unusual year. And that, you know, and George mentioned Joe Milton. Ian, you and I have talked about Joe Milton. If he's sitting there in the seventh round and happened to be still there, I'd take him.
Well, we don't have a seventh round pick in the sixth.
Oh, that's
round.
Right. You're right. I forgot we don't have a seventh.
I might take him.
I mean that the dude's got a cannon. He's big. He's physical. I mean, what the hell?
He's a he's a project. But
number
three. I mean,
I mean, just see what he can do. I mean, the seventh round is basically undrafted free agent anyway. You know, I don't know. At least in my book, it is. But I am about ready to flip it over to Mr. Casey Kasem.
Oh boy.
If the good sir is ready to step out of the grave.
Confirmed.
He is with us tonight. Done my seances, and Casey Kasem is ready to roll, ladies and gentlemen.
Casey coast to coast. American top footy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was April 18th, 1986. Our favorite correspondent, Ryan, is back with us this week, and he writes, "Dear Casey, don't fly, Mr. Bluebird. I'm just walking down the road, early morning sunshine. Tell me all I need to know. Casey, that's, of course, the Allman Brothers Band with Blue Sky. A song written and sung by guitarist Dickie Betts, who passed away today. Cheers to Dickie Betts."
Super sky point right there.
"Speaking of Dickie, former Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster showed his Dickie to the world this past weekend when he posted a graphic image on Snapchat that showed him and a female passenger in the car with little Juju driving.
Little Juju.
Juju joins a long list of former Steelers wide receivers who take graphic photos of themselves and distribute them. How could we forget Antonio Brown and Deontay Johnson? Wait, Casey, you never heard about the Deontay Johnson photo? Here's the scoop. Last year, Deontay Johnson was so mad, he took a photo of his ass and sent it to then-Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett with the with the caption, and I quote, "This be what you are." Deontay then told George Pickens about what he did, and Pickens and Pickens proceeded to send a picture of his peaches to Mitch Trubisky. I was told Mason received flowers and candy in lieu of weird photos. Speaking of weird, let's talk about new Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson. Casey, I'm getting concerned about Russ. We all know that Russ is as awkward as a Thanksgiving dinner when your uncle has too many drinks and says that January 6th was an inside job and then says the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians should have never changed their names. Russ just looks like a weird dude. He has those Bret the Hitman Hart sunglasses, that gigantic Jesus piece around his neck. If at the first OTA he handed each teammate a red Solo cup with some Kool-Aid in it and said, "Drink this and we'll ascend to our next journey," I wouldn't be surprised. Russell Wilson is like Jim Jones with 300 more passing touchdowns. Casey, I keep telling myself, Russ isn't right for me, but why can't this be love? Well, Ryan, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Up three spots this week to number 9. Here's Van Halen off their first album with lead singer Sammy Hagar, 5150. Here's Why Can't This Be Love.
After last week, you had some work to do, man, because it was going to be hard to top last week, and you did a fine job.
OJ.
You did a fine job. Yeah. Ian, it's funny you mentioned that you said something to your wife, or you let her listen to that. My wife the same way. She's like, you need to put more sunshine out in the atmosphere.
Oh, your wife listened to the whole show?
Oh, no, God, I just made her listen to the Casey Kasem.
Right.
My wife was like, I cannot believe you guys do
Mark,
this.
Right. Did you make your wife listen to the whole show?
Oh my God, no. Are you kidding me? She would listen to 3 minutes of it.
No. All right. More sunshine.
She just thinks
you sound hilarious. Like you sound like Dan and Johnny that tell me I need to like try to embrace like, you know, irrational
optimism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not
irrational optimism. What time do we want to come on the air next week?
Like 9:30 ish, give or take.
Is that 6:30 here?
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, the draft starts at 8 and we pick at 20. So, I mean, I'd say we should be on by like pick 14 or 15, somewhere in that time.
I may go live at 9:00.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there. That doesn't mean you guys have to be here. I may just have it up. Anybody that wants to jump in the chat, you're more than welcome to. I'll just have it up. It'll be kind of a coming and going. We'll have a good time as always. And just in case the Steelers do trade up a few spots, we'll be prepared. And if they don't, then great. We'll just chill, but, let's plan on that for now. And, I'm just excited for the draft. Looking forward to it.
I will be on once my kids fall asleep.
Cheers. Outstanding.
Once my kids fall asleep.
Yeah. Well,
I don't have any kids, so I'll be on.
Oh, stop it now.
I'll be drinking.
You? Of course, it's the draft show. Yeah. The draft show is like the closest we get to overtime in a normal show during the whole year.
It's overtime, but a normal show. Yeah. Yeah. I got that right. Jesus. Hey, thanks to everybody that jumped on in the live chat tonight. We appreciate you guys so much. And thank you, obviously, everyone who jumps on at their own time, whether to watch or to just listen. Appreciate you guys a ton. Make sure you
got
subscribe.
What it takes. Look at that shit.
All that
there we
stuff.
Go, Mr. Yeah. Bozick. Hey, it's got what it takes.
Yes, Ian.
Are we just doing Thursday? Or are we going to do a Friday night round 2-3 show also?
Let's just see how things work out. We might be able to do a little Friday night fun. All right. I think, Ben, you said Friday night gets underway at 8:00 also?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was 7 on Friday night, but
it used to be. It was earlier on Friday.
Okay.
And then I think they shortened the times between the picks on Friday.
And yeah, well, definitely they do. And yeah. And our correspondent, Aaron, I believe, will be at the draft. So we might be able to get some live correspondence from everything going on.
Oh, damn, Aaron. Write a letter to Casey at the draft.
Yeah, yeah, that would be swell.
Where's it at this year?
It's in Detroit.
That's it.
Just up the road from where Aaron's at. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from Steel Dad, and he's not going.
Well, it's about 3 hours across.
Yeah, and, 3 hours around the corner.
I'm really not. Yeah,
just a little bit down the road. I mean, come on,
not my crowd, man.
If
not
you were crowd. A really dedicated podcaster, you'd be there.
No, if I was a dedicated podcaster, I'd be right here podcasting.
If you were Lord Farquaad, you would absolutely be there.
Yeah,
you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Lord Farquaad would be there if he lived 3 hours from Detroit.
Lord Farquaad is also like 23 years old, too.
He's like 30, and he's willing to give out his address to people who want to fight him. He's like, here's my address. Show up at my house. I'll fight you.
I just don't have that kind of energy anymore.
I agree with you. I'm not really here's my address. Show up at my house, and I'll fight you guy either, but.
Right, right.
You know,
well, in any case, we'll
different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely, we'll definitely have Aaron there as our correspondent on Friday, and that will always provide some great comedy. Thanks, everybody. Make sure you check out the website. All of our draft previews are done now.
Yes, Ben did have some drinks tonight.
They are up on the website, steelcityblitz.com. Check it out. And yes, Ben had some drinks. And hey,
we all had some drinks.
Go Steelers.
Ravens suck again.
There we go. So much better.